working. So the nine is drop the anchor.
This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrow as we wrap up the holiday weekend. A lot of great racing across the country over the weekend, and we'll hit on some of those stakes recaps as we move along here a little bit later on, maybe a little handicapping. Maybe we'll take a look at a little aqueduct action for this afternoon. Then again, we'll wrap up a little bit early as it's once again 11:50 post time at Aqueduct. And it looks like they may have the early post times again next weekend. And then after next weekend, they're going to click towards either 12:20 or 12:50. That'll be the wintertime post times. So we should be back to kind of a regular schedule here on the Sunday morning edition of Racing Across America. But again, maybe a little bit abbreviated today as we do some stakes recaps and then a little bit of handicapping. Then we'll toss it over to the NYRA pregame show for their look at the Sunday afternoon card. But as I say, a lot of great stakes action to take a look at. First, let me remind you that if you'd like to watch some football action while you're enjoying your racing action on a Sunday afternoon, you can stop here at the Clubhouse Racebook. NFL Sundays throughout the football season. Put your name on a square. Maybe you'll win a football jersey. Always a lot of fun, but you can watch the football and the racing right here at the Clubhouse Racebook every Sunday afternoon, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. All right, let's jump in and take a look at some of the stakes action. Let's kick things off by taking a look at the Clark, which was run on Friday at Churchill Downs, annually one of the, you know, season-ending big events. This year, no exception. 14 entered, nice field. Code of Honor went off as the 8-5 favorite. And Code of Honor is going to be the number three horse on our replay. And just, you can see the three chicklet, and you can see in those green colors kind of just can't get going, then finally gets going. But by the time he gets going, Bodie Express had the jump on him. So Bodie Express puts a grade one on the resume. And again, Code of Honor, good second, but just never kind of got the momentum going in time to, as they say, catch Bodie Express, who had the jump on him. Owendale ran third, Coastal Defense fourth, Mr. Freeze fifth in there. It was a 102 buyer for Bodie Express. Bodie Express is a horse that has shown some flashes of talent, certainly throughout the career. It was hard to pull the trigger on Friday necessarily. Went off at 11-1, but got it done. Again, just Rafael Bejarano got the jump on the competition. Code of Honor was there and looked to be in great striking position, and just the momentum didn't start until just a little bit too late. Chart margin of a length, and again, the 102 buyer for Bodie Express getting it done in the Clark. Disappointment was By My Standards, who ran seventh in there, had some traffic. I had Code of Honor over By My Standards. So Code of Honor, as I say, ran well, traffic and whatnot, but traffic as well for By My Standards. And again, disappointing effort, kind of splitting the field of 14 running seventh in there. So that was Friday's Clark down at Churchill. Again, Bodie Express puts the grade one on the resume. Friday out on the West Coast, the Del Mar Turf Festival continued, as it will today as well. I'll hit on that in a few. But a horse I've liked throughout his career, Arklow, is going to get it done. At 9-5, Arklow is going to be the number 5 horse. Licario, second choice at 5-2, the number 8 runs second. And number 4, Say the Word, runs third. And again, we can see Arklow getting the lead here. It will be a chart margin of a half a length. Just missed a track record in here. Late run from Licario, but really doesn't threaten it. If you had Arklow, I don't think you were, you know, sitting on pins and needles. When he got the lead, you pretty much felt confident. Coming out of a 6th-place finish previously in the Breeders' Cup Turf. As I say, I've liked him throughout the career. You know, you look at on the win side over the past couple of seasons, only had a couple of wins coming into this. Won the Kentucky Turf Cup down at Kentucky Downs a couple starts before Friday. And then that 6th-place finish in the Breeders' Cup Turf. But, boy, I mean, coming into Friday, he had over $2.5 million in the bank. String of triple-digit buyers. I mean, this is a nice little turf runner for Brad Cox, Donegal Racing and Company, and gets it done, as I say, just missing a track record on Friday out at Del Mar in the Hollywood Turf Cup. Moving on Friday, there was a few stakes races on Friday at Aqueduct, but I wanted to pull up the Comley for the 3-year-old fillies because I thought this was a nice performance from Mrs. Danvers. Mrs. Danvers, a shug horse. Mrs. Danvers, the number 6. You can see her out there kind of pulling away the chart margin here, 6.25. She just kind of runs away. Miss Marissa, the number 1 horse, was a bona fide contender. Gale, the number 8, I was a little surprised that one wound up to be the favorite. I thought it was going to be Miss Marissa, but Gale, the number 8, was 2-1. Miss Marissa, the number 1, was 3-1. They kind of disappoint running 5th and 6th. Running 2nd was Ice Princess. I took a little pop with Thankful, the number 5 you saw ran 3rd there, the Pletcher horse, stepping into Stakes Company for the first time. I thought Thankful was a little bit interesting coming into the race at the top of the stretch. I thought, maybe Thankful will do a little something in here. But no, not against Mrs. Danvers on Friday afternoon down at Aqueduct, as she wins, as I say, by a chart margin of 6.25. She now has 3 wins, 3 seconds, and a 3rd and 8 career starts for Shug in the Allen stable. Had tried Stakes Company once before in the test, was well beaten in there behind Gamine and Venetian Harbor, so her stakes debut was against some salty company. This was also, I thought, a salty little race, not quite the level of that test competition, but Mrs. Danvers acquits herself quite nicely in the Cumley on Friday afternoon down at Aqueduct, one of the stakes on the card down there, but again, one I thought was worth watching, as Mrs. Danvers looked really good with the win down there. All right, let's take a look at some of the stakes action from yesterday, and we'll kick off with the Churchill action, which included the 2 2-year-old stakes. And these, both the Goldenrod and the Kentucky Jockey Club, are always intriguing because it's late in the 2-year-old season. We're a month and a week away from turning the page, and these horses become 3-year-olds, 3-year-old fillies, 3-year-old colts, headed on to the Kentucky Oaks potentially, or the Kentucky Derby. But these are important races because, you know, they're 2 turns over the Churchill Strip, so you run well here. That bodes well for the promise of that 3-year-old season for either sex. We'll start things out looking at the girls in the Goldenrod. Simply Ravishing, the number 8 horse, was the 3-5 favorite and looked to have this field over a barrel a little bit. Coach came in off a nice win in a stakes here at Churchill last time, but it's Travel Column, number 5. I like Clairiere. I had that one in my mix. Clairiere is the number 6 who you see leading here, but when Travel column gets going, the number five horse, just the momentum propels her right by Clairiere. Now, Clairiere, this was only the second start for the Asmussen runner from Stone Street, from Cavorting. So there's some great breeding there. And I think given that this was the second start, steps into stakes company, she's got a nice future. But travel column, third start of the career for Brad Cox, broke the maiden in the career debut, ran third in the Alcibiades in her second start with a little traffic. And so third career start, gets it done in the Goldenrod on Saturday at Churchill Downs. She's going to be a nice one. Brad Cox, Larry Best, OXO Racing, paid $850,000 for right up the street, up the turnpike at Fasig Tipton last summer. Obviously, there was last summer, 2019, no sales up there this past summer. But in 2019, she was purchased right here locally at auction for, as I say, $850,000, and seems to be living up to that price in a fine fashion. 84 buyer. So, you know, this time of year for a two-year-old filly, that's a solid number. But they have a nice little two-year-old filly on their hands, Brad Cox. And as I say, Larry Best's OXO. All right, let's move on to a little bit later on the card yesterday and potentially the Triple Crown Trail. And don't forget, Derby Future Pool 1 is currently underway. It closes at 6 o'clock tonight. Boy, it's early to be playing that. But if you look and you see a big price, the other interesting, there's a sire wager as well, and that could be a little bit intriguing to play around with. But don't forget that Future Pool, Derby Future Pool 1, closes today at 6 o'clock. Keep that in mind. You may have gotten a barometer on which direction you want to go if you're looking at that pool. If you watched yesterday's Kentucky Jockey Club for the two-year-old males, mile and a 16th, over that Churchill Strip. And I took a little pop with Inspector Frost, the number five horse. I didn't get anything out of that one. I had Keep Me In Mind down in the bottom of my mix, the Robertino Diodoro runner. And they were saying on the simulcast signal yesterday, it's true, Robertino Diodoro, Keep Me In Mind, is the number four horse. You think of him as a claiming guy and a crafty claiming guy, but now he has a legitimate contender on the Derby Trail. Keep Me In Mind coming from back of the pack. They keep going. David Cohen keeps pumping, keeps charging, and gets it done over the number 1A, Smiling Sabatka. Number 3, Arabian Prince, runs third. Arabian Prince from our friends at West Point. And that was a nice third from Arabian Prince. Arabian Prince had broken the maiden in the debut effort, followed that up with a fourth last time in the street sense, and now a nice third in Kentucky Jockey Club. So nice little two-year-old, about to turn three-year-old for our friends at West Point, again with a third-place finish. But Keep Me In Mind gets it done. David Cohen on board, regular rider for Robertino Diodoro. And he said in a follow-up article yesterday, I got off this one at the beginning of the career, and I said, you know what, this is going to be our Derby horse. And so it felt good that he did, in fact, validate my feelings. Had finished third last time in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, having come from way back in the pack to finish third behind Essential Quality a couple of seconds before that. And that means went into yesterday's race as a maiden. So that was a nice looking victory in career start number four. But clearly, they had run second in their debut effort against Maiden Special Company and then tried the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland, finishing second to Essential Quality, and then the Breeders' Cup Juvenile finishing third to Essential Quality. So clearly they knew this one had some talent, and they had it validated yesterday in the Kentucky Jockey Club. 79 buyer. They are going to head to Oaklawn with Keep Me In Mind, and from Diodoro's Oaklawn base, they'll decide, you know, which three-year-old trail they will take to the Derby, Oaklawn, or maybe Fairgrounds, or maybe a combination, popping down to some of the three-year-old races they have at those two tracks. So Keep Me In Mind, wrapping up the two-year-old season, again, in fine fashion with a win in the Kentucky Jockey Club. Let's go out to Del Mar. And we had talked about some of these races yesterday with Ella Starr including the Jimmy Durante. I like Pizzazz a little bit in the Jimmy Durante. Pizzazz is going to be the number 7 horse. Took a lot of money. 6-1 on the morning line. Pizzazz went off at 5-2 and is the number 7 horse and makes a nice move right here. And I thought, oh, Pizzazz is going to live up to his name. And then he gets swallowed up a little late and runs 4th. Fluffy Socks from Chad Brown was the favorite at 8-5 and does get by. Javanica, who I also had in my mix, the 5-run 2nd. Number 9, Quatorel runs 3rd in here. Fluffy Socks did have to survive an inquiry, and they looked at it for quite a while. But it was one of those situations that was on the turn. And it did look like perhaps Fluffy Socks did bother another horse. But, boy, on the turn, it was kind of tough to pull the trigger. It was Consternation, I believe, that claimed the foul, Drayden Van Dyke, who wound up being 5th. The stewards eventually said it didn't affect the order of finish. There may have been something, but we didn't feel it affected the order of finish. So as I say, they looked for a long time. Fluffy Socks had to survive that inquiry. Did. The order of finish was not changed. So ships out there to Delmar and gets it done for Chad Brown and Head of Plains Partners. This is a nice-looking runner for that team as well. Debuted up at Saratoga and disappointed a little bit in the debut, but went off at 8-1 that day and ran 5th. Followed up with a maiden breaker down at Kentucky Downs. You know, you go down there for those rich. It was a maiden special event for $94,000. Broke the maiden there, then went to Pimlico, won a stakes race at Pimlico, and just missed in the previous start at Belmont in the Chelsea Flower. Goes out to Southern California and picks up the Jimmy Durante. So 5 starts, 3 wins, a couple of stakes wins. They'll have a nice little 3-year-old turf filly going forward to next year, obviously off of the very talented and promising 2-year-old season capped by the Jimmy Durante yesterday. Let's take a look at the Seabiscuit. We talked about this one on the show yesterday as well. Favorite in here was another Twist of Fate, which I found kind of interesting. Had a long layoff and had won the Long Acres Mile up at Emerald Downs in the lone start this year. That was back in September. Buyer figure was all right, but I was just surprised that another Twist of Fate took the favoritism over the Chad Brown Flavius. That one went off at 5-2. Another Twist of Fate went off at 2-1. Another Twist of Fate, the number 8 runs 4th. Flavius runs 2nd, the number 12. The winner at 8-1, number 5, count again. And you could see Flavius took the lead there late, and you thought, oh, yeah, the Chad horse is going to get it done. But count again comes on, again, at 8-1, and makes the nice late run to get it done. Had come out of a 4th place finish last time in the Northern Dancer up at Woodbine. Prior to that, had won the Singspiel up at Woodbine. So this season had spent most of the season up at Woodbine, started the season back in April down at Tampa, but then moved up to Woodbine in the barn of Gail Cox, and as I say, won the Singspiel 2-back. So there was a little something you could have hung your hat on, pick up that $18.80 mutual, but a little bit disappointing for Flavius with Irad Ortiz, who again took the lead late, but just all the momentum for count again as he zipped by and got it done in there in the Seabiscuit. And finally, we will move on to the Hollywood Derby, wrapping up the action yesterday at Del Mar. And the Hollywood Derby, this was a nice field in here. We talked with Terry Finley from West Point yesterday about Decorated Invader. A little bit disappointing for Decorated Invader. Did have some traffic issues, but Decorated Invader, number 10, runs 5th in here. The favorite was Smooth Like Straight at 5-2, the number 2 horse. Number 8, Domestic Spending, winds up to be the winner. 4, you can see it in the colors there, Chad Brown and Klarovich. Really nice ride. Just timed that perfectly from Irad Ortiz. Smooth Like Straight, 2nd. Gufo from Christophe Clement runs 3rd. Get Smokin', who had just prior won the Hill Prince just by that much over Decorated Prince, runs 4th, and gets the fourth over Decorated Invader, fifth. But coming under the wire, it is domestic spending again with a very nicely timed ride to get up in the shadow of the wire for Chad Klarovich, Irad Ortiz, as I say, wrapping up the card yesterday. And I don't know, I will ask if, do we have the stretch run of the Japan Cup?
Yeah.
Yes, okay, so we will take a look at that. Internationally, this is one worth taking a look at because Almond Eyes, really a talented runner from Japan. She had won the Philly Triple Crown there a couple of years ago and just had been one of the top runners in Japan. This was her farewell race yesterday, Almond Eye. And you can see Kiseki, when we pick it up, just has what looks to maybe be in the stretch an insurmountable lead. But you'll see Almond Eyes starts to get rolling here. And when Almond Eyes gets going, she is going to wind up sending, and she's there on the outside, getting going. And she's going to wind up wrapping up her career, heading off to the breeding shed with a victory in last night's Japan Cup in Japan, obviously. But that was a nice run. As I say, Kiseki came into the stretch and you thought, oh, this might be tough to run down. But Almond Eyes just consistently kept running. She's really been a fabulous, you know, one of the top runners in Japan and kind of internationally. She went in Dubai as well. So it was nice to see her kind of go out on a high note yesterday in Japan in the Japan Cup. Also wanted to mention, because next week, I was going to say was going to be, still will be, mandatory pay in the Empire Six on Cigar Mile Day. But unfortunately, the big purse will not be as big because it was scooped up yesterday at Aqueduct. $487,000 plus scooped up yesterday in the Empire Six when Muta Makina won the Long Island. That one paying $590. Prior Turn Decide paid $12. Kansas Kiss paid $33. Never Surprise $650. Return the Ring $12. The sequence started out with Hawaiian Noises at $41. So there was a couple in there you had to search for a little bit. Somebody or somebodies, a team perhaps, picked it up. The article that Dave Grenig wrote following up said it was the ticket was an investment of over $4,300 to pick up $487,000. Not bad yesterday, but as they say, a little bit disappointing perhaps for those of us who are maybe looking forward to taking a pop next weekend for the mandatory pay. But we'll see. They'll juice a little money into the pool. It'll still have a little something going for next weekend. Also wanted to mention that tonight, 4:40, 5:40, just a little before 7 o'clock our time, the Matriarch at Del Mar, kind of worth tuning in for that because Sharing will take on her elders. Sharing, of course, started her career right up here at Saratoga last year for Grand Motion and Eclipse Thoroughbreds. Close up third in the career debut last July 2019, and then followed up breaking the maiden pretty convincingly in an off-the-turfer in the middle of August. Subsequently, she won the Salima, moved on and won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly, Turf, came back at the start of this year and won the Teppan. Then they went over, tried Royal Ascot. If you remember that race, she looked really good running second over at Royal Ascot. Came back to the United States, won the Edgewood at Churchill, and this evening, again, just a little before 7 o'clock out at Del Mar, she will be in the Matriarch taking on her elders. Viadera is in there for Chad Brown, Julie Foxtrot for Brad Cox, Blowout for Chad Brown. So fun competitive field, but it'll be interesting to see what Sharing, the three-year-old filly, the talented, very talented three-year-old filly for Grand Motion can do this evening versus her elders. All right, I'm going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and maybe take a look at some action for this afternoon for Aqueduct, and then we'll throw it over to the pregame at Naira. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player? To have a better knowledge of the game? To be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Barbara. These two arch rivals head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrill. As always, thanks for joining us. Maybe we'll take a look at the early pick four at Aqueduct, give you some ideas there. And then, as I say, with 11:50 post time, we will send it to the pregame at Naira with Anthony, the big A, and Andy Serling back in town. He was off for a few days, but he was back in yesterday. Second race at Aqueduct on this Sunday morning. The card starts out in the morning. By the time we get to the second, we'll be just past lunchtime. Second race today, State Bred Maiden Special is going six on the grass. And so far the signal, and I pulled up, they're showing yielding. And actually, the inner turf is good. Outer turf is yielding. So it looks like we're cooking along as far as turf racing is concerned. I have it. And let me see, I do have some early scratches. Looks like the 11 is still in, but the 13 is out, because I had 11, 13, 6, and 9. So it looks like the 11 is going to be in, and maybe the 9 is out. So it looks like, for me, it'll be 11, 6, and 7. Let me just double-check those scratches. Yeah, so it'll be 11, 6, and 7. In the second at Aqueduct, Mass Marauder on top. One deep on the AE list, but does get a scratch, enough of that action to move in now. Masked Marauder, just buyer-wise of those that have raced, and a lot of these are first-time starters. And I'm just looking, really, the body, the field is, the one has had some starts. But this one has shown a little bit of ability, and clearly they had some promise for this one. Third career start, they jumped into a stakes race, still being a maiden. So the Robitross runner, again, as they say, has fired some numbers that, you know, for this bunch are probably going to be okay, and has also shown a little bit of promise. Blinkers go on today. So we'll put Mass Marauder on top. Second slot, we will take a look at number six, Perfect Munnings by Munnings from Todd Pletcher. Workouts are okay. There was a little bit of breeding here. Jose Ortiz jumps on board, so we'll throw that one in the mix as well. In the third spot, Mr. Hot Cha-Cha, Dave Donk runner, I thought might be a little bit live. Dave Donk had the great Saratoga meet and then went a little cold, and now has come back and heated up again, and so that attracted my attention as well. But again, there are a number of first-time starters in here that might prove to be any kind, really. It's hard to know. I will say, I originally had five, and a couple were on the AE list, one pulled in, and another one in the body field scratched out. So now I'm 11, 6, and 7. And the one that I had a couple check marks next to, but I just couldn't include because I was already five deep, is Bulgari, the Jim Bond runner. So again, it's a firster by Tisway that I thought might be a little bit interesting first time out of the box. So we'll pull that one into the bottom of the mix in the second race, 11, 6, 7, and 8. Race number 3 at Aqueduct this afternoon on the grass again, 5, 8, 1, and 9 for me. And I just wondered if Obsessed might try to steal this. Todd Pletcher runner has a lot of early speed, broke the maiden last time with a front-end run at Keeneland. Two starts back, was on the front at Keeneland, and just got caught. Same scenario up at Saratoga, two back. The question mark also is all of those starts so far have been on the dirt. So how is this horse going to take to the turf this afternoon? But I think if the horse does take to the turf, maybe gets out and is able to take them all the way around. That's the crystal ball at work. You're getting 10-1 on the morning line. With the surface question mark, I think we'll maintain some value. But I'll take a look at Obsessed with the early speed. Compliant in the second spot. Chad Brown, Klarovich off the maiden breaker last time. That was only the second start of 2020. So now the third start of the season. Strings a couple together. Seems in good form. Logical on the connections. Glynn County in the third spot. Mike Maker, trainee, went through a starter allowance last time nicely. Came from off the pace. Had Irad Ortiz on board that day, though, and Eric Consell is on board today. But typically and pretty consistently is firing numbers that I think are going to stack up nicely with this crew. So in the third at Aqueduct, 5, 8, 1, and 9. Fourth race at Aqueduct, allowance non-winners of one other than going the one-turn mile for me, 7, 1, 6, and 2. Let me just check because I can't. It looks like the 7 might be out of the. Oh, no, I was looking at race ahead. We're good. We're good to go. 7, 1, 6, and 2. The Sound on top, Brad Cox trainee, couple of starts. Good second in the debut behind a Next Out winner. Followed that up as the chalky favorite, getting it done in the second career start. Couple of starts at the 7 furlongs now in the third start, stretches to the mile. I kind of like that as well. Nice outside attack post position. The Sound on top. Adair in the second slot. Started the career out in Southern California for Neil Drysdale and then came east. Good second in the first start on this coast at Belmont. I like the nice little workout last time, says the horse is still on his toes, so Adair should be a player as well. And in fact, Adair is the morning line favorite. I'll be interested to see, given what Brad Cox has been doing recently, I'll be interested to see who attracts the favoritism in this race. Third spot, Fort Worth. It's a Todd Fletcher trainee that has 3 wins and 5 career starts, 2 of them in the last 3 starts with bookend and okay third place finish. Has been facing state bred optional claimers. This is an open allowance, so maybe a little bit saltier, but I think this horse will fit okay with this group. And on a best effort, I think is a danger as well. Jose Ortiz on board. So, you know, if you're playing the horizontals or whatever, I think it's a nice alternative to maybe add a little bit of value because I think the top two probably will take a lot of attention. And finally, wrapping up that early pick four at Aqueduct. In the fifth, I have a 2, 3, 9, and 6. I think we're good to go there as far as there were some early scratches posted. Caramel Swirl on top for Bill Mott. Pretty good-looking debut effort. It was a nice second-place finish with a buyer number that was solid. Winner came back to win next time out. So I think Caramel Swirl is going to be legitimate. Firster by Chad Brown from Judmont, Precipitate by Pioneer of the Nile. That one could be interesting. The workouts underneath seem to indicate this horse will be well-met first time out of the box. Paradise Song, a firster from Mike Trombetta by Frosted, I think is going to be a player in the debut effort. Soma by Curland from Shug McGahee could be interesting. And just read it. 20-1 on the morning line. Firster from Ray Handel. And if you remember, I had Ray Handel on with me this summer talking about one of the horses he talked about was Irish Constitution, who was a first-time starter that won for him up at Saratoga. And he said on the show, you know, I don't usually win with firsters, but I have a couple that I think are going to be good. And Irish Constitution, I'm pretty sure it was later that same day. Prove that. Well, this is another firster by Constitution from Ray Handel. 20-1 on the morning line. Just read it. I just missed my mix, but I have to toss out there. If the odds hold up on Just Read It, there are a couple of workouts underneath. I would consider playing around potentially with that one again if the odds warrant it, if they kind of hold up at, you know, juicy, let's say 12, 15 to 1 or higher, certainly that 20 to 1 or higher. Take an extra look maybe at the number 7, just read it in the 5th. But I have it 2, 3, 9, and 6. All right, I'm going to step out because, as I say, there is the early post time today at Aqueduct, so I'm assuming the pregame show may be underway or about to roll out, so we'll get some ideas from Anthony and Andy for this afternoon's card. I'll be back in with the 11:50 post time, less than an hour, with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. We'll be taking a look at some of that action, hopefully tossing out some interesting ideas. Also, have to note, yesterday we had the online bankroll. I had the bankroll last week out in the front half and just could not make it happen. And yesterday, I was kind of treading water again, too. And then at the end, we had a couple of little things happen. So everybody on the bankroll team got, you know, a little touch of money put into their account. It was not the day I wanted. I passed up. Not only is it you have to hit and you know, preserve the bankroll for 4 hours and make it happen and have the right opinions, but it's as much the races you pick as you don't pick. And there was one race at Churchill I sat out that it was a great exacta that I kind of kicked myself that I was on the sidelines for that go. It would have been a much better day. But again, next bankroll, we will try to improve on the performance. As I say, everybody on the team got a little bit of money. We're happy for everybody who participated during the afternoon. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. Don't forget, you can come down to the Clubhouse Racebook today for football and racing action. We'd love to see you down here. NFL Sundays throughout the season, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. Seth Merrill for OTB, or Racing Across America. I was going to say OTB Live. That's another hour or so, but Racing Across America on a Sunday morning. Thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned. The NAIRA pregame show up next. I'll see you for OTB Live in about an hour.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.